Hi everyone, Susie O here. Just want to let all of you know that the certificates of deposit at Alliant Credit Union are now at, for a 6-month CD, 5%, a 12 to 17 month CD, 5.15%, and an 18 to 23 month CD, 4.90%. And for those amounts of $75,000 or more, just add on 0.5% to those rates. Go to myalliant, ALLIANT.com, and check it out.
Okay, Susie, are you ready for today's podcast?
Oh, you bet I am, because I'm unstoppable.
I'm unstoppable. I'm a Porsche with no brakes. I'm invincible. Yeah, I win every single game. I'm so powerful. I don't need batteries to play. I'm so confident. Yeah, I'm unstoppable today.
December 3rd, 2023. You just imagine in just a few more days, I'm going to be saying 2024. Anyway, December 3rd, 2023. Welcome, everybody, to the Women and Money podcast. This is Susie O here. And today is Susie School. Get out your Susie notebooks because you are going to need them. First, we are going to be talking about all the changes to retirement accounts, the numbers that you need to know to make the right decisions for you. So there are going to be a lot of numbers, but you are going to write them down so that you have them to refer to when you need them. Also, I'm going to be talking about treasuries, where I think they're going, why I want you to do the 18-month certificate of deposit with Alliant Credit Union, why money market funds right now and short-term T-bills may not be exactly what you really want to be investing in at this point in time, and last but not least, what do I think of the markets? How should you be investing? And things like that. Now, hopefully, we will get through all of that. All right, so let's begin. The biggest change in 2024 is to the amount of money that you can put in to retirement accounts. So, for a traditional and a Roth IRA, if you are under 50 years of age, you now can put in $7,000 a year. If you are 50 or older, you can put in $8,000 a year. So write that down. So just know, depending on your age, you can now contribute to a Roth or a traditional IRA, $7,000 a year, or $8,000 if you are 50 or older. If you have a 401k, a 403b, a 457, or a TSP at work, those are all employer-sponsored retirement accounts. It does not matter whether it is a Roth or a traditional. You now can put in, if you are under 50, $23,000 per year. This starts in 2024. If you are 50 or older, you can put in $30,500. Now just remember, everybody, you can, if you want to, have an employer-sponsored retirement account where let's say you are 50 and older, and you can put up to $30,500 in that. Plus, if you qualify for it income-wise, and we'll talk about that in a second, you could put in another $8,000 in a traditional or Roth IRA. So just between those two, if you had the money, you could be putting $38,500 in two retirement accounts. Just think about that. That's a lot of money. Anyway, for those of you who are self-employed or you have a SEP IRA, Your new maximum for 2024 will be $68,000 a year. And for those of you who have simple IRAs, if you are under 50, it's now $16,000 a year. And if you are 50 or older, it's $19,500 a year. Have you written all those down? If you missed those numbers, just go back, rewind the podcast, and get these numbers straight, because they're important numbers. Every number I'm about to give you in this segment is important for you to know. Now, you know that I am Roth retirement accounts crazy, and my favorite retirement account of all is a Roth IRA. Yes, I love as well Roth 401ks, 403bs, 457s, and TSPs. But the retirement account I love the most is an individual Roth IRA. However, not everybody qualifies to have a Roth IRA because it is based on your modified adjusted gross income. When it comes to contributing to a Roth 401k, 403b, 457, or TSP, it does not matter about your income. You qualify for it no matter what. However, for a Roth IRA, because it is such an incredible account, the government limits the amount of money you can make to qualify for it. So those new phase-out limits are, if you are single, the most you can make is $146,000 a year to contribute the max to a Roth IRA, which is, again, $7,000 if you are under 50, $8,000 if you are 50 or older. And that amount of money, the maximum, starts to phase out to where you are no longer qualified for a Roth IRA after $161,000 a year of modified adjusted gross income. So what that means is that the $7,000 or the $8,000 a year that you're able to put in as your modified adjusted gross income increases from $146,000 to maybe $150,000, maybe to $160,000, the amount of money that you can put in decreases. But again, anything from $146,000 a year of modified adjusted gross income or less, you can put in the full amount. If you are married filing jointly, those amounts are $230,000. Anything under that, you can put in the full amount into a Roth. It phases out at $240,000. For those of you who are married filing single, the most you can make is $10,000 a year. So if you want to contribute to a Roth or a traditional or anything, you really do not want to be married filing single. So that is what you need to know about Roth IRAs. For those of you who make more than that, and you still want to have a Roth IRA, remember, any money that you have in a traditional IRA or a simple IRA or a SEP IRA, it doesn't matter. You can convert any money you want into a Roth IRA with no income limitations. Obviously, if you do so, whatever money you happen to convert, you will owe ordinary income taxes on that. There also is something known as a backdoor Roth IRA, and I've explained it in previous podcasts, so you might want to look that up as to how they work. They are still legal. You can still do them, and therefore you can get money into Roth IRAs even though your income level is too high. There's something else you should know about, which is required minimum distributions. Again, you have heard me talk about it with KT many, many times. And a required minimum distribution is if you have any retirement account other than a Roth IRA or a Roth 401k or whatever it may be. So if you have traditional retirement accounts or pre-taxed retirement accounts, there comes an age when you have got to start taking money out based on a specific formula of your life expectancy. And over the years, that age has been changing. Prior to 2020, once you reached 70 and a half, you had to April 1st after the year you turned 70 and a half to start withdrawing your RMDs. Then that changed. And then it went to 72 years of age. And then that changed. And now, if you are born between 1951 and 1959, it is 73 years of age before you have to start taking out required minimum distributions. I cannot believe that next year will be when I have to start taking out required minimum distributions. And just to be clear about this, even though you are allowed to wait till April 1st after the year of your RMD age, again, for me next year it will be 73, I will not wait until 2025 to take out my RMDs. Because if I do that, I have to take out two in that year. So that is not what I want to see happen. So for those of you, once you turn the age of an RMD, take it out in the year that you turned that age. Do not wait until April 1st after the year you turned your RMD age. Now, for those of you who were born in 1960 or later, you get to wait till you are 75 years of age to start your RMDs. So this is giving you more and more time for your money to accumulate, for it to grow, for it to be there for you when you do actually retire. I don't know the thought process behind why they are raising those ages, but I'm actually very happy that they have done so. Those are the important things that you need to know about retirement accounts. Treasuries. Have I not been saying for a long time that I had this feeling that we should go longer term treasuries? And then I talked to you about a barbell approach. A barbell approach would be you had some of your money in shorter term treasuries and some of your money in equal amount, if not more, in longer term treasuries, that you should absolutely have your treasury money or your CD money or whatever it is divided like a barbell. So here's what I think is happening with interest rates. I do think interest rates are going to come down. For those of you who are in short-term treasury bills, now listen closely to me. Do you remember a few years ago when a treasury, when a money market account, when a savings account was maybe paying you 0.5% interest, 1% interest? You couldn't get an interest rate anywhere because interest rates stayed low to spur on the economy. The danger that you have is if you stay in short-term treasuries, that if interest rates continue to go down, that every time one of your treasury bills matures, when you go to renew it, you may find that the interest rate is lower than before and lower and lower and lower. And therefore, you're setting yourself up in a situation, if it's true that interest rates are going to come down, that your renewal rates will get lower and lower. So why not lock in a higher interest rate right now for a longer period of time? A 2-year, maybe a 5-year, maybe a 20-year, maybe a 30-year. For those of you who are keeping your money in money market accounts or high yield savings accounts, the same may happen to you, that interest rates possibly will go down and down, and you will get less and less on your money. So that's what I think is going to happen with interest rates. Now, let me go to the 18-month certificate of deposit with Alliant Credit Union. The reason I like this particular certificate of deposit is not just because Alliant Credit Union sponsors the podcast. I like this particular certificate of deposit for a few reasons. Number one, the interest rate is currently at 5.3% for amounts under $75,000, and $75,000 and above, it's 5.35%. Okay. Now, you may be saying, but Susie, I listen to these other YouTube channels and everything, and they give me a list of all these places that I can get 5.8%, 5.9%, whatever it may be, on certificates of deposits. First of all, most of those certificates of deposits are good for maybe 1 year, not 18 months. Listen to me closely, everybody. With the Alliant 18-month CD, it is a variable maturity CD. So the minimum deposit is $1,000. You can get an 18-month maturity, a 19-month maturity, a 20-month maturity, a 21-month maturity, or a 23-month maturity. So in essence, you could almost get a 2-year certificate of deposit at Alliant Credit Union for 5.3 or 5.35%. If you look right now at what 2-year treasuries are going for, you will find that 2-year treasury notes right now are about 4.55%. And probably going down. May I just remind you, that is 1% less approximately than what the 18 to 23 month certificate of deposit at Alliant Credit Union is offering you. Now, the question has to be asked and answered. Why would I want a 5.3 or 5.35% interest rate when I've been seeing certificates of deposits with higher interest rates than that? Well, let me tell you why. When Dennis Devine, who is the CEO of Alliant Credit Union, looks at a portfolio, he has to know, with all of his CFOs and everything, that the interest rate that they are offering you is an interest rate that, number one, does not put any part of the portfolio of this or any other things that they offer in jeopardy. It's not about the highest interest rate all the time, everybody. It is about the safest interest rate. Now, I understand very well that banks, as well as credit unions, are insured up to $250,000 for the FDIC or NCUA for credit unions. But you don't want to get yourself in a situation where you even have to think about that the financial institution that you are doing business with is ever going to have to depend on that backup insurance. It's true, you have insurance on your home, you have insurance on your car, but you do not want to get in an accident and have to use that insurance. So it is very, very important that you know you are with a financial institution that only invests your money in maturities and in a way and offer you an interest rate that no matter what happens in the economy, your portfolio is going to be safe and sound. When you see these other offers that are at 5.8% or offering you all this money, they want your money. Of course they do. I don't care about the highest interest rate. I care about a safe interest rate that still is totally respectable. And when you compare this to the 2-year treasury, it is seriously respectable no matter really what state you live in and state income tax bracket. So I just wanted to talk about that with you. If you are interested in purchasing the 18 to 23 month certificate of deposit with Alliant Credit Union, while interest rates are still up here, everybody, because this will not last forever, I guarantee you that, you need to go to myalliant.com. That's myalliant.com. And you know that you're at the right place when you see my picture with 3 choices for you to choose from. Choose certificates of deposits. Last but not least, I just want to talk about the stock market, as I told you that I would. I think what's happening in the stock market is that we're pretty solid for right now. But you have to take an approach where if you do not need your money for at least 5, 7, or 10 years, the money that you are going to invest in the stock market, then the truth of the matter is you just need to pick out stocks that are good quality stocks, many of them that pay a very nice dividend. And even if you don't want the dividends because you're younger and you want growth with your money, then there are so many stocks out there that you absolutely could be buying, but the only way to be buying them is through dollar cost averaging. Now, dollar cost averaging is where you decide on a specific sum of money that whether it's every month, every 3 months, every 6 months, whatever it is, that you are going to invest in the stock market if you're buying shares of those individual stocks at that time, or if it's an ETF or whatever, you invest in that ETF. If you're going to be buying individual stocks and you don't have an exchange-traded fund for true diversification, none of you should ever have more than 4% of your stock market investable assets in one stock. So that means that you need about 25 individual stocks for you to have a truly diversified portfolio. But you don't want all of your money in just one stock or 2 stocks. If you do and something goes wrong, there it goes. So if you have, however, an exchange-traded fund, such as VTI, the Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund, or VOO, or SPIDERS, SPY, whatever it may be, that gives you diversification because that has a lot of stocks in it. Therefore, if you then want to buy 1 or 2 or 3 stocks on your own with the majority of your money in exchange-traded funds, I do not have a problem with that. One last thing. We still have PXD, that's at about 233. We'll see what happens next year with the Exxon deal. Will it go through? Will it not? But Devon, let's talk about Devon for a second. Devon, which many of you have, is at $45 a share. It's still paying about 6.39%. What many of you may do right now, especially since it's year end, if it's outside of a retirement account and you have a loss in it, maybe what you do is you sell it here. Because it seems like the price of oil may be going down still. And if it goes down, the price of Devon will also go down. So maybe you sell it here and you take a loss. Then maybe you look at a few of those other stocks, such as CTRE, the Care Trust, REIT, which is paying about 4.90% in dividends. Or maybe you look at the Realty Income one. Again, the symbol on that one is O, and that one currently is paying 5.72% in dividends. And then Verizon, as you also know, that I like a lot, although people don't understand it, but it has gone up since I first start telling you to buy it, everybody, right? That's paying a 7% dividend. So do you go from Devon, sell it, take a loss, take whatever money you have, and then divide it maybe into those three companies that I just mentioned? So you might want to divide it up between all of those and see what happens. If you're in a retirement account and you don't want to wait a whole lot longer to see what happens, believe it or not, you might want to do it anyway. But if you feel like you have time, you're fine with the dividend, you do not care, and you want to wait and see, does oil go back up one day or does it not, then just hold it, because you are still getting a very, very nice dividend. When it comes to PXD, a few podcasts ago, I told you what I would have done with it. And for those of you who don't remember, I told you all the way back when this first happened around October 11th of this year that I would sell it. Now, many of you followed my advice and you sold it at 235, 243. And then a lot of you got very sad because after you sold it, you watched it go all the way up to 255. And then you have watched it come all the way back down again. And right now it's about 228, 229, right in that area. Again, I am going to now reiterate, I have a feeling that it is possible that this merger may not go through because they're now questioning it on many levels. And that if it doesn't go through, you will see this stock go right back down to 215, 217, which is where it was before this buyout was announced. So you just got your dividend of $3.20 a share if you still own it on November 29th. So you did great there. So again, if I still owned it, I'm telling you what I would still do is I would sell it here. Now listen closely. If you want to stay in the energy arena because you think oil is going to go back up, and I have to tell you, I do think oil is going to go back up. I just don't know when. I would then, rather than own PXD, Pioneer, I would switch it to Diamondback, which I also recommended years ago. Symbol is FANG. And that's at about $152.45 a share, right around there. And it's currently paying about a 4.5% dividend. Now, I understand that dividend is nowhere near as high as Pioneer. However, it's something that you might want to consider. I would be doing it. That doesn't mean that you should. If you like the dividend Pioneer, you don't care if it goes all the way back down to 217 and you think they'll keep the dividend, okay. But I don't know. You might just want to think about it. Also, for those of you who are in the energy area and you have the ETF XLE, just keep it. you're fine. You have diversification there. It's not like you just own one stock, such as Devon or Pioneer. You have a whole basket of energy stocks. So that is very, very different. Okay, there you go. I think I covered everything that you wanted to know about. So there's really only one thing I want you to say every single day, and it is as follows. Today, wherever I go, I will create a more peaceful, joyful, and loving world. And I really mean that, everybody. As we enter the holiday season, the greatest gift you can give yourself and to give this world is to follow those words, make those words a reality, and bring a little peace, joy, and love into everybody's life. And if you do that, you will be unstoppable.
I'm unstoppable. I'm a butcher with no brakes. I'm invincible. Yeah, I win every single game. Minds are powerful. I don't need batteries to play. I'm so confident. Yeah, I'm unstoppable today. Unstoppable today.
Neither Susie Orman Media nor Susie Orman is acting as a certified financial planner, advisor, a certified financial analyst, an economist, CPA, accountant, or lawyer. Neither Susie Orman Media nor Susie Orman make any recommendations as to any specific securities or investments. All content contained in this podcast is for informational and general purposes only and does not constitute financial accounting or legal advice. You should consult your own tax, legal, and financial advisors regarding your particular situation. Neither Susie Orman Media nor Susie Orman accepts any responsibility for any losses which may arise from accessing or reliance on information in this podcast. And to the fullest extent permitted by law, we exclude all liability for loss, damages, direct or indirect, arising from the use of this information. The must-have documents discussed in this podcast are legal documents created by a lawyer and distributed by Hay House.